This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
We get the best start to the day because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
Now back to Warriors This Week on 95.7 The Game.
Yay!
All right, we got 2 hours in, 1 hour to go on Warriors This Week. It's a big day, and you know how I know, Dan Devone, that it's a big day. By the way, shout out to Pasta celebrating finally. He's getting around to his 22nd birthday today. Or sorry, 23. But you're going to be in the house tonight. You are going to be at Chase Center for, my recollection, the first time this season.
I want to be introduced in a spotlight.
Well, first and foremost, I'll take you around, show you on the nook and crannies of Chase Center. It's a labyrinth. You're going to get lost in there, especially down in the depths. But you wanted to go to this game.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. I talked to my man Luke.
Yep.
So we got you credentialed. I said, okay, what time is the car picking me up? Are we, are we going to red carpet me into this thing?
Well, it's a far trek from the Presidio, but I appreciate you making the jaunt. You know, probably polar opposite sides of the city.
Are you going to ask a question, Dan?
Hell no. I'll be in the press box starting the Chavano sucks chant. No, I won't do that.
Well, you wouldn't be in the press box long.
Yeah.
Well, when was the last time you...
In a box?
Well, no. You were credentialed for a game.
Oh, it's been...
Because, I mean, you've done this countless times, but it's been a while.
Yeah, so I'm curious now, are the credentials isolated, or do I get credentialed for the series, or do they do it just for game?
I think this might be for just for one game. But yeah. But if you wanted to go to game four, it's just the same process. Luke will throw you on the list, and you'll be good to go. So you'll probably have a seat. I don't know if we'll be sitting together, but I'll finagle something.
No, I look forward to it.
Yeah.
Wear a suit?
It's a fun setup.
No suit. Maybe because it's your birthday. And apparently, well, there's a chance that we might see each other tonight.
Birthday suit. Yeah. We're going to be seeing Pasta after the game because, well, I don't want to out your lady, but there's a surprise setup for Pasta that isn't really a surprise.
Yeah.
We'll see. She's not listening, right?
No.
Okay. There you go.
Oh, well, thanks.
All right. I just outed you.
I just want to go home.
Yeah. 888-957-9570 is the number. Evan Giddings, Dan Devone. What's going to be the difference tonight? Who's going to be the difference maker, Devone? You think it is Kuminga? I mean, even if Jimmy doesn't play, which I hope that he does because I love watching him play basketball, gives the Warriors the best chance to win. The difference to me is I think it's going to be Houston. Houston is such a freaking wild card that, like, if they make 40% of their threes like they almost did in game two, I don't see the Warriors winning this game. But if they revert back to the team that can't throw a stone into the ocean, then there's absolutely a shot that the Warriors can take this game.
Well, one thing that we had talked about are the turnovers. I think we both agree that, first of all, you can never turn the ball over. You shouldn't turn over the ball over an excessive amount, but especially in the playoffs and especially against that of the Houston Rockets. Because I think the Houston Rockets, when they cross the timeline and somebody holds up their fist or a play or whatever it is, if it's Van Vliet, like, let's get into our action, they're just not good. Statistically, they just can't score the basketball. But you benefit them by turning the ball over. And here's where I want to go with this is... Your two best players and the two veterans on this basketball team, the two guys you expect the least to turn it over, are the most haphazard with the ball, that being Steph and Draymond Green.
Yeah.
And Jimmy Butler, who is also, you know, he's playoff Jimmy, he's the other veteran, but Jimmy does not turn the ball. Jimmy secures that. I feel confident every time he has the ball, whether it's out on the wing or whether he's in the mid post, that he's going to make the right basketball play. I don't have that confidence with those two. Now, obviously, you're going to go as far as Steph takes you tonight. I've always maintained this when it comes to Steph Curry. Never seen a basketball player like him before. He's remarkable.
Never will again.
But he's also the most frustrating superstar I think I've ever witnessed. Because with all the greatness, we're how many years into his career, and there is still, as you pointed out earlier, the cross-court one-handed hook pass that'll sail into row number six. Or there's so much confidence in the handle that he wants to break a triple team by using his dribble and then turns it over. Again, getting back, you know, to Tim's call earlier, where I'm a big Steve Kerr fan, but I think if you do a show like this, no matter who the coach is, we're going to levy some bombs their way. And I think this, one of the faults that I put on Steve Kerr as it relates to these two specifically, and I've talked about this, that I truly believe turnovers are a thing of coaching. I think that if you turn the ball, or if there's the edict of that's not allowed, just like you're raising a child, you cannot do that from year one.
Yeah.
Like, don't do that. There's going to be reprimand. I'm going to point it out. You're going to sit, or it's something we're going to talk about. I don't think that you see what it is that we see on a game-to-game basis here with the Golden State Warriors. I always tell you this. Mike Holmgren, the former coach of the Seattle Seahawks, I did his show for years. And one of the things that he would do, and he was a big imposing guy, he's like, we may lose games. We're not going to turn the ball over. We are not going to shoot ourselves in the foot. We're not going to jump off sides. We're not making stupid penalties. Now, you could say, well, you say that, but it happens to every team. Ev, year in and year out, they are at the top of the NFL in least amount of penalties. He made it something that was not going to happen with his basketball team, and as a head coach, he enforced it. And I believe that Steve Kerr, I get it, and I think that there's a method to Steve Kerr's madness, that he doesn't want to be Bobby Knight. You can't coach like even Popovich back in the day. That you have to give these guys some room for error, and there's got to be a long leash here. That you can't, you know, you can't micromanage these guys. I get it, and it's one of the reasons why he's a successful head coach. But I think the reason why you continue to see the turnovers by your two best players and plays it, it's something that's preventable. Like, what are you doing? I think that really starts at the very top.
I think it's who they are. I mean, this is something that we disagree about. And this is an extreme example. Yes, you're right. Mike Holmgren always emphasized possession and not maximizing mistakes. However, if your quarterback is Jameis Winston, you're going to turn over the ball. Like, it comes down to personnel. And you've lived and you've died with it for four championships and six finals appearances. Like, I agree that Curry and Draymond are... Now, I also do think that there are teams that make it more difficult for them to take care of the ball. And Houston's one of those teams. They're long. They have long wingspans. They're a team that is fast. They can switch. And I think they do frustrate Steph at times. So that's going to... You know, he's going to be looser with the ball. But at the end of the day, Curry is not, he's not Chris Paul.
You got to let him be Curry. I get it.
He's not Steve Nash. I mean, the same reason that he's going to throw a one-handed hook pass into the second row is the same reason he's going to drill a 30-footer.
I totally get it, but is it not still frustrating, I guess is what I'm trying to say.
No, it is, and I'll tell you why. It's also frustrating for the head coach. Remember in game one when Draymond threw that ball inexplicably on an inbounds play, just taking the ball out of the basket, past Curry. They weren't on the same page, miscommunication, and Kerr immediately calls a timeout. They're up like 16. But he calls a timeout, and he just screams at Curry and Draymond, poise, poise, poise. It pisses him off, too. He's a point guard. I feel like if anybody should be mad at them, it's their head coach because he understands the value of the basketball. That's who they are. I mean, it's just who they are, and you're going to have to live with it.
No, I agree with you. I agree with you. I guess the point I'm making is just so, when you think about veterans, smart basketball players, will we not admit that Draymond and Steph are cerebral, smart basketball players to make these sort of mistakes? But I get it. It's, if you take that away from them, especially Steph. Steph isn't Steph.
Yeah. No, I mean, look, I think that both, yeah, they're obviously both smart basketball players. But to me, the cerebral nature of, say, Draymond Green, you know, that's something that manifests itself on the defensive end of the floor, which, by the way, reminds me real fast. You got any problem with Draymond not winning DPOY?
No.
Yeah, me neither.
Yeah.
Although our boy wasn't even in the top three.
Yeah, that's a little surprising.
I mean, I understand. To me, you know, Evan Mobley, best defender on the best team. You know, Cleveland had, I mean, they weren't the number one defense. I guess that probably would have been Lou Dort, but Mobley has had the greatest impact on a 64-win basketball team, and he did it the whole year. Draymond, the last 2 months of the basketball season, was probably the best defender in the NBA, but you got to do it for a full 6 months.
He disappeared. Well, didn't disappear, but, you know, the whole team was bad for those 2 months after the 12-3 start.
Yeah, and then I also, and that's probably why the vote was so split. Like, there was actually a lot of people that didn't have Draymond on their ballot. Like, yeah. He got more second-place votes than Dyson Daniels did.
I got a question for you.
Okay.
Just to stay with us for a moment, because I don't give a rip about postseason awards. If you're a Draymond fan, a Warrior fan, who cares if he's not the DPOY? It means nothing. If he's locked in defensively right now, especially tonight, and he can guard 1 through 5, that's all you care about. Just get out there, Sengun, be Draymond. But how does Peyton Pritchard, who was a sixth man of the year, how does he do it? Like, I look at this dude, this dumpy little 6 foot, like, how does this guy score as effectively as he does? I look at him, I'm like, this doesn't make any sense to me.
I don't know.
He's a hell of a player, but I'm like, what's going on here?
You know who else is a hell of a player? Sixth man of the year. I don't know if he was the runner-up, but finalist, Ty Jerome.
Yeah. Well, at least Ty Jerome, I don't know. At least
can hoop.
Yeah, Ty Jerome is, he looks like a basketball player. I mean.
Well, so does Pritchard.
Yeah, he just seems, I don't know. He just
He's
seems
quick,
sort of
man.
Lumpy. He does a lot of his damage in the paint people don't recognize. It's not just, he can shoot threes, but this dude gets to the rim on people. I'm like, that perplexes me, and then we'll get into the Warriors, and then why? And I'm not being a hater. I was trying to seriously think about this. Why do people go to draft day? Like, why would you take a flight to Green Bay to sit there in the cold just to see your team's name called? What's the joy out of that?
Like, I don't know. Some of the people who are drafted don't even go. Like, I don't get it. Although, I hope the boss isn't listening. We were considering going out to Milwaukee or Green Bay, Wisconsin for the draft, like, as a show, you know, doing a draft
show. As a reporter, but like as a fan.
I don't give a rip about the NFL draft. I'm sorry. The Warriors are in the playoffs right now. I don't know if we noticed. They play at 5:30 tonight, game 3, first round against the Rockets. That is what I am invested in right now. That's just me. Let's go to Cade at San Francisco. Has been hanging on patiently. Cade? Yeah. What's up, Cade? Most improved player of the year.
Hello,
you doing?
Guys. Pretty good. How are you guys doing?
Fantastic.
All right. I want to catch on to the point that you guys were making. The number of three-pointers that Steph Curry successfully shoots when he touches the ball the second time is pretty good, which means when he touches the ball the first time, he needs to quickly get the ball away from himself and displace himself, and he's so good at it. When he keeps the ball for a longer time during the first touch is when we have problems. So as much as Jimmy Butler situation and Kuminga's situation is a problem for us. Curry's giving away the ball after the first touch is a bigger problem for us. So we should be careful about that, especially with teams like Houston Rockets.
I got you, Kate. Yeah, so less on ball for Steph. That I actually do agree with. I know that he's, you know, people are saying he's getting hugged and grabbed and tugged, and that's all true to some point. Shedeur Sanders got drafted by the Browns. Oh, boy. Couldn't have been a worse draft day for
him. He's pick 144 in the fifth round.
Well, at least he's off the board. We can stop talking
about
it.
Those mock coconuts had him going as the number two quarterback overall.
I'm not saying anybody should be fired, but Mel Kiper's exit interview for the NFL draft, just keep an eye on it. Well, I'm just saying, he had him as a top three player. All right. Let's go to Brian in Palo Alto wants to talk about Steve Kerr. Brian, what's going on, man? Good morning.
Yeah, I think Kerr does come down on turnovers. He doesn't do a lot of like public sort of castigation of his own players, right? So I think probably what he says in a huddle or in a locker room is probably not super well known to us, but yeah, I'm sure he does come down on them in turnovers. Turnovers are frustrating, but you know, those are, you know, the greatest player in the history of the franchise. One of them is the greatest player in the history of the Bay Area, right? So we'll take it. We'll take the good with the bad. And then, yeah, you know, Dan and all these Kuminga stands, you guys complained and whined about Kuminga. Kuminga should play. He's the X factor. And then he played 30 minutes the other night, and he was hideous. And by the way, the team was hideous, but, like, I don't think Kuminga is, like, some sort of elixir here. Like, he's not. And he's – the reality is he's not the same player he was before he was hurt, right? Like, he's not been the same player since he came back. And if you were expecting the Warriors who won 80% of their games with Butler to completely, you know, transform the operation to accommodate him after they became a winning team when he was gone, I don't think you're a very good sports mind, if that's what you think. So he's not been a very good player since he came back from injury. Stop blaming everybody else and start looking at Jonathan Kuminga. And again, he had a long run the other night and he was not good. I wanted him to have a shot too, by the way, but he was not good. So let's stop complaining, right? Let's stop. Thanks.
Thanks, Brian. I mean, I'll say this. There was no chance he was going to be good in that game.
No.
Like that, to expect Kuminga to come in and save the Warriors in a game like that, to me, if you did expect him to play well, you're not a good basketball mind or sports mind, whatever BP was trying to do to take a cheap shot at you. So,
I don't think he was.
Well, I was trying to stick up for you.
Ah, you're a good BP. What's his name? BP?
BPA.
No, you know what I would say to BPA and everybody else, that what's scary about Jonathan, well, it's not scary. Use another word, but that, you know, you'll see this from time to time where a player won't play or get DMP because of the matchups, right? Like, we don't think this is a good matchup for this particular player, even though he's been in our rotation all year long. We shrink rotations and some players get marginalized. That's not what Steve Kerr is telling everybody. What Steve Kerr is saying is that it's not the opponent that he doesn't match up well with. It's our own team. It's Jimmy Butler. He doesn't play well with the guys that we have on our team. Well, guess what? Jimmy Butler isn't going anywhere. So what is Steve Kerr telling you? He's not part of the future. Like, he's telling everybody that Jonathan Kuminga doesn't play well with Jimmy Butler. Jimmy Butler is going to be here for a bit. That means that Jonathan Kuminga, if I'm to read things correctly, is out the door. So I think the idea, and we don't need to necessarily go here because I'd like to focus on game three, but the idea of a contract, the idea of his future with the Warriors, I think that's all been settled. Has it not?
No, look, it's for something after the season. I don't really see it. You know, there's some finality coming to this situation, and we're going to discuss it whenever it happens. But again, I will say this. If Jimmy Butler is inactive for this game, you're going to need Kuminga. You just are. And that's actually, to both of your points, which is why I agree with what Brian said, to the extent of this is a completely different team. Kuminga hasn't been good since he's come back from injury. Yes, that's on him. But it's because the Warriors are totally a different basketball team with Jimmy Butler. Without Jimmy Butler, they looked, and I believe as a whole, play a little more like the team that Kuminga was actually a prominent featured player on. Now, I don't know if he can be the same guy that he was before Jimmy was before his injury, in fact, but they might need him to be if they're going to try and win one of these two games. So I hope that Butler's here. If he plays tonight, the Warriors are better off for it, and it makes Kuminga less relevant. But if he's not active, you're going to need the guy. Like, I just hate to break it to you.
I would tell Jonathan Kuminga, I would blow into his ear before the game tonight, and he should already know this, but I would just say, listen.
You're blowing into a lot of people's ear lately. I'm just saying. You're just whispering in the wind.
You're not getting pulled tonight, okay? You've got a certain amount of minutes. I need you to, I said this before, go to the rack. Put pressure on the rim. We don't have anybody who can do that as well as you. And I don't care if you miss a couple of shots, continue to do it. I'm not pulling you, all right? You have my confidence because I believe in you and I think you can get this done. You shouldn't have to do it after year four, but I do think that that message has to verbally be sent to JK at this point. Let's get to the lines.
All right. If we can, let's go to Fred in Oakland, wants to talk about the difference maker for tonight. Fred, what's up, man? Good morning.
All right. How you fellas doing?
Fantastic, man. What's up?
Well, actually, what I felt would be the difference maker tonight would be the sixth man. The crowd at Chase. I think the crowd is going to make a difference. It's going to energize the players, you know, so that they're out there hustling, running all over the court and getting those 50-50 balls. And I think that that's going to be an extra juice for the players and the motivation, because they looked really, after Butler went out, they kind of looked lost and just like the air was let out of there, out of the balloon for them. And, yeah, Kuminga needs to step up also. I mean, he needs to think about his money. If he wants to get paid any kind of money, he needs to show, if he's going to play tonight, he needs to show that he's worthy of something. Because if not, you know, that's going to affect him and his agent. And but I also think Moody and Pozemski will probably be key as well. If they can get in double digits, maybe 12, 15, 17 points apiece, that's going to be the difference maker as well. So I just wanted to put my two cents in for that.
Yeah, I am 100% with you there. And we've talked a lot about Kuminga. I want to table the contract stuff. That's for down the line. But in regards to this game, Jimmy or not, Moses Moody and Brandon Pozemski have to play prominent roles. They, or I should say, have to play better than they've played in the first two games. And that's where I wholeheartedly agree that the crowd will help, because both of those two players, statistically, over this season, shoot it a whole hell of a lot better at Chase Center than they do away from it.
Well, what do they say when it comes to the playoffs? That's when role players excel, is when they come back home.
Yeah.
Look at Orlando. Orlando looked like they was 4-0 in the first two games against the Boston Celtics. Back home, completely different team. And I know you and I go back and forth on OKC, but they almost got tripped up by a really bad Memphis team without Ja Morant, and they let a 29-point lead somehow slip away. But the home court advantage is real when it comes to the NBA. And I think it really means something to those players that are young and are role players, namely Pozemski and Moody.
I mean, just look at the Houston Rockets. Game one, the role players stunk. Game two, Tari Eason was really good. You know, you're looking at Fred VanVleet. I know he didn't make many shots, but he was a lot better in game two. He's more of a veteran guy. You know, the point stands. But my point is, some of those swing players for each team, they benefit from the home crowd. And I think Moody almost pulled a Perkins there. Moses Moody and Brandon Pozemski. Those are guys I expect to play better. Yeah.
Boston, drop. Moody.
Moody Moses. Moody. Yeah. I think those guys are going to be salivating. Those guys are going to play better tonight. I am salivating. But Denimo's got you for the final segment here on Warriors This Week. I see you, Scotty. I see you, Mitch. Denimo, get your calls on the other side. 888-957-9570 is the number. What's going to be the difference tonight? What are you counting on? What do you want to see from the Golden State Warriors? What are you expecting to see from the Houston Rockets as this series returns to San Francisco tonight? 5:30 tip-off. Tim Roy, Tom Tolbert on the call here on 95.7. The game Warriors Live begins at 4:30. Game three and an opportunity to go up 2-1 in the series. We're back after this on Warriors This Week.
Plus, I'm trying to figure out the association with Viva Las Vegas, Elvis, and the Warriors tonight. Or is there one?
There is no association.
Okay, it's just random pasta. That's what I love about you. That's Elvis for the hell of it. Dust off Elvis any opportunity you have. Why not? Hi again, everybody. It's Dan DeVoe. Got you covered for the last half hour. Here is the Golden State Warriors and the Houston Rockets will play game three as things now shift to the Bay Area as the Warriors will play their first home game. Now, one thing, pasta, that I do not want to see tonight, whether it's from Quentin Post or from Steph Curry, or from Draymond Green, is any of them exalting the crowd or get up, let's go. That should already be baked in. Like, it should be one of those where it's absolute pandemonium right from the outset, or if there's a big play, or if they can sense the momentum shift, or the Warriors are on a run, it's got to be loud tonight. Place has got to be loud. I know that when Chase first opened the first couple of years, you know, there was the constant comparisons between Chase and Oracle, and people yearned for Roracle, and those rabid fans that, for whatever reason, weren't making the trip across the bridge, primarily because it's like $120 to get a beer and $5,000 for a seat. So I feel you. But tonight has got to be, just like everybody else in the NBA, tonight has got to be a difference maker when you're talking about the first home game out at Chase. And you know the drill. We begin with Warriors Live at 4:30. Tip with Tim Roy at 5:30. It's the Golden State Warriors and the Houston Rockets to see who goes up and gets the upper hand 2-1 in this series, currently tied at a game apiece. All right, well, we've talked about Jonathan Kuminga. I believe that this constant conversation, which we've had not only this year, but it goes back to the last couple of years, who can score the ball consistently on a Warrior basketball team that could be without Jimmy Butler, I think Jonathan Kuminga, again, has to be that guy. He's proven it. He has the resume. He's a guy that I think is the best athlete on the team. And it's a perfect matchup for him when you think about the Houston Rockets and the sort of athletes that are going to counter, obviously, Jonathan Kuminga and the rest of that Warrior team. You need a game from Jonathan Kuminga. And if it's not Jonathan Kuminga, then Pajemski has to step up. And I have confidence in Pajemski that from what I've seen from him in his first, in his first glimpse or his first appearance in the postseason for the Golden State Warriors, that, and I didn't think this going in, that he can handle the moment. I think Pajemski is a guy I'm not that worried about, although there were times where you could clearly see that, you know, he was looking to give up the ball a little bit sooner than he typically would if this was a regular season game. But Pajemski, I have the full, if he's healthy, if he's not dealing with the food poisoning or whatever it is that he had to go through the other night, that Pajemski can get, you know, whether it's shooting threes or getting in the lane and hitting that runner or decelerating or the defense that he turns into offense, Pajemski's not a concern. Moody, on the other hand, just does not look like the same player that looked as though he had finally turned the corner and was filled with all that confidence that we saw a couple of months back, about a month ago, when Moses Moody, you felt, had arrived. He was flexing on people. I mean, he wasn't hesitant when it came to his shot. And I think that that's something that they've been, you know, they've been urging all along, is that Moses, go get it. Be the man. Not worried about you defensively. I think Moses Moody, with his length and his on-the-ball pressure, as well as his hustle, much like that of Pajemski, and he fits well with what is the new branded basketball team with the arrival of Jimmy Butler, that it's, you know, it's defense first, and statistically, certainly, that has been proven out. And I think Moses Moody continues to be a plus in that area, but you need him to score the basketball. He's got to get at the rim. And there are times where, you know, he does a little, you know, he does a little Ben Simmons where he's not even looking at the goal. He's not even looking at the rim. And he's, again, I don't know whether that's, I'm sure he's aware of this, but whether that's somebody has to talk to him before the game, pull him aside and saying, be assertive. We don't have Jimmy Butler. Go get yours. We know you can do it. You know you can do it. Now just make it happen against the Rockets tonight. And I think that holds true for Pajemski and all the other quote-unquote role players who typically, if the NBA throughout the years, going back in the association, the 75 years plus, when you talk about basketball, that when it comes to playoff games and when it comes to home games, the role players like that of Pajemski, the role players like that of Moses Moody, the Quinton Post, always play well at home. And so that's a plus for Golden State, and that has to be the case tonight. So there could be, and who knows how it's going to play out tonight. I think we always want to, and we want to anticipate how a game is going to take place, but every playoff game has its own personality. There's going to be a scenario tonight that none of us anticipated, that I can pretty much guarantee. And somebody could step up. It could be GP2 with a three-ball surge tonight. Every game takes on a different personality than the one before it. But I think that, I'm overstating the obvious. If you don't have Jimmy Butler available tonight, then I think that if it's Pajemski, it's got to be Moody, it's got to be Quentin Post, and maybe you don't need a breakout game for those guys, but if Pajemski's giving me 10 or 12 or 13 and I'm getting 14 or 15 from Moses Moody or vice versa and Quentin Post is giving me double digits, that's enough. That's enough. And if GP2's good, but it's really on the offensive end. And I know Ev and I were going back and forth on this. He believes that it's the defense that's a little bit more concerning. Houston's doesn't scare me offensively. I had to hit the cough button there. Dealing with the cold this past week.
I was like, should I say something? Jeez, Dan.
I mean, that's right, Posse. You hand off to you. Come on, man. Get in there. It's your birthday, for crying out loud. Might be the only time I let you on the mic.
It was. Tuesday.
So, and Posse, let's work you in here. I believe that it's got to be, you know how I feel about Jonathan Kuminga. And there's a chance that Jonathan Kuminga goes off tonight. And I know a lot of people are like, well, that's not going to happen. I'm not seeing any signs. Well, again, you have no idea what happens in the playoffs from game to game. I do not be surprised if we're talking about Jonathan Kuminga and he dominates the conversation all next week. That's a real potential because we've seen it. And we've seen it specifically against Houston. He has the capability of doing that. I'm not going to be surprised if he becomes the X factor in all of this. But Posse, let's bring in. Who is it that you see, or is it sort of a collab, as they like to say? Is it a collaborative effort? If Jimmy Butler can't play tonight, who picks up that slack?
Well, first of all, I agree with you that it is on the offensive side. I think that's kind of where you need to be. You need to have difference makers on the offensive side tonight. And if Jimmy Butler's not playing, I think Jonathan Kuminga is the guy. And, he is the topic of conversation on this station throughout the week. Usually when it's warranted or not. But this is the chance for me to see if he could play with Steph Curry the way a lot of people don't think he can. So that is what I'm going to look to see. Can Jonathan Kuminga play with Steph Curry as effectively, as efficiently? And yeah, it's up to Pods and Moody and those guys to step up too. And you're going to miss the way Jimmy opens up the floor. But I think collectively, if those guys are able to get good looks, then you might have yourself, a chance to salvage a game here in game three. But I think Kuminga is going to be an X factor here. And I know we've said that before, but we'll have to see what happens. But I do agree.
Yeah. You know what? I agree with you that he's such a good player, especially when Steph Curry and Draymond Green are not available. I think he gets into his own head, as does Moses Moody, as does a lot of those players. And I understand that. You got two future Hall of Famers and you're just a kid. You're gonna look, if Steph Curry is open, you got to give him the basketball. And I've always felt that Jonathan Kuminga believes that he can take anybody off the bounce. He can ISO on anybody and he can take them to the rack. I truly believe that he feels as though he's got the skill to deal on anybody in the NBA. But the dilemma often becomes with him is that I got Steph. Steph is our number one option. And so while I know I can get mine, I got to keep one eye on Steph because if he's open, I got to give him the basketball. Simply because I know that I'm going to hear about it if I don't. And that's quote unquote what it is that I'm supposed to do. I think when you remove Steph from the equation, if for some reason you need Steph tonight, obviously, tonight's not going to be the night. But when Steph's out of the game or Steph's not available, when you look at the history of Jonathan Kuminga in games where Steph doesn't play or those games when Draymond doesn't play, and it's almost as if that piano's been literally removed from his back. He's like, it's about me. And I have the utmost confidence that I can get mine. And more often than not, he does. Again, they didn't have Draymond and or Steph available in a game against the Rockets early this year, in a game in which they won, and he went for 33. And it was an efficient 33. But I do think he gets into his own head that when Steph's on the floor, he thinks about being deferential, and I think the same when Draymond's on the floor, that He overthinks things. And I think you compound things now. And I know some of the callers brought this up earlier in the show. You compound things now with that he's really at a point where he doesn't know what's up or what's down at this point. And I think that that was sort of evident in that game too, where he got run, where he's just, you know, his confidence has been shot. And you could make the argument, well, listen, if you're going to be a good player, you got to be ready and you got to be a confident player regardless of what's happened. You have to believe in your own skill set. That's true for some players, but I do think that every player is different, and I think he's a little bit more sensitive. I think he's a little bit more emotional. He's a little bit more sort of aware of those sort of things as opposed to someone like, I don't know, a LaMelo Ball, for example, or, you know, these players who have no conscience. They'll shoot three-pointers off of 1 foot, and if they miss their first five, they're shooting the next five. They don't care. I think playing for the Warriors, where you have the history of championships centered around those two players, Draymond Green, Steph Curry, and, of course, Steve Kerr pulling the trigger, that it doesn't work like that in this organization with this franchise. And so there's a lot of thinking that goes on with Jonathan Kuminga. But I do think that when he's just an athlete and he's just asked to be Jonathan Kuminga and just let her rip and don't worry about anything else, I think Jonathan Kuminga could be a very, very dangerous basketball player. Now, the defense, the intensity, I don't have excuses for. That's always going to sort of haunt him. But I know offensively, and I mentioned and I emphasize offense because that's what they're going to need tonight. Just to boil it down to its simplest form is that you're going to need someone who can score the basketball or be a threat to put pressure on the rim. It's not only scoring the basketball. Buddy Hield can score the basketball. Podziemski has the potential of scoring the basketball. But somebody who can score the basketball by creating their own. It doesn't have to be opportunistic basketball coming off of a break. It doesn't have to be, you know, someone coming off a screen like Buddy Hield that's open for a three. But somebody that when you get stuck offensively and when everything else isn't working, somebody that can create something out of nothing. There are few players on that team that can do it. Jimmy Butler being one, Steph obviously being another, and the third being Jonathan Kuminga. And that ability is what separates him from the other quote-unquote scorers on this basketball team. And that's why I think in this series, for somebody who can create on their own, is why I think that he can be a huge plus for the Warriors, not only in this contest, but going forward. I know, you know, listen, I get it, that Steve Kerr's out on him. And I said earlier that in this situation, you got to defer to Steve, right? Don't you at this? Hasn't Steve earned our trust at this point that he knows what it is that he's doing and he sees something that's flawed? And so I get it. He's not going to play. And again, I'll defer to Steve. Doesn't mean I necessarily have to agree with it. Because from a guy who's on the outside looking in, I'm not at practice and I don't know Jonathan Kuminga intimately as well as Steve Kerr. I don't have the pedigree of Steve Kerr. He's done just about everything when it comes to the NBA. But I know what it is that I see. And just as a fan who's sitting on his butt watching these games, I'm like, how the hell are you not playing this guy? Is all I'm trying to say when it comes to Jonathan Kuminga. Anything else you see as keys tonight, Post?
I think you nailed it. I think Kuminga's kind of an interesting storyline. But also, you know, you mentioned it, you know, when you came back from break, was just the energy inside Chase Center. And I think that there's the stigma that you mentioned about, maybe not a stigma, but there's the misconception about Chase Center and how it's not like Oracle Arena, and parts of that are true. But you gotta show up here if you're Warriors fans. You gotta show up. You gotta make sure to bring the energy. Because I remember there the shirts that were on the seats during the playing games, and it took them till halftime to get on the shirts. We gotta bring the energy. Gotta bring the energy.
Well,
that's,
you know,
important.
What, you know what happens to energy, and the difference between Oracle and what's going on out in San Francisco is that a lot of those fans, the hardcore, and this happened out in Oracle as well, they just get priced out, right? Like the hardcore fans, the guys that know their basketball, the people that live and die with the Golden State Warriors and go back in the day, they're just like, dude, I can't afford this. What are you out of your mind, man? You take another mortgage out on the house? This is ridiculous. And so what happens is that you get a lot of corporate America. A lot of people are like, hey, let me wine and dine some clients. I'm going to use, because they have budgets allocated to this. Like, let me, you know, let me go take, you know, somebody to the game because we want their contract. It's, it becomes like a business transaction for a lot of those fans.
And as bad as this sounds, like the people that are probably at postseason games are probably the ones that might be able to afford one of the $20 burgers. I mean, I could be wrong on that.
You're right.
But I mean, those,
is that what
those
burgers are going
price-
for?
What's that?
Is that what a burger's going for?
I mean, I got one of the ones where it was the pretzel bun and there was a cheeseburger and it was like 18, 20, I think.
Yeah, I just think a lot of the hardcore fans just simply are like, I'm out of this, man. I mean, I'll watch it at home. That's not true for all of the fans that are there. Certainly not. I mean, I think hardcore Warrior fans are going to be there tonight, but you need to be a difference maker. It's the NBA and the playoffs, and the home court advantage is real when you talk, especially in these early rounds, and especially when you're talking about some of the younger players to feel more comfortable. So I think it's going to be loud tonight. I'm not worried about that. The Warriors find themselves, it's not, Ev mentioned this, that I think must win, you know, must win isn't only, it's only applied to when you're down 3-0 or you're facing elimination, right? Like,
you know who needs to step up? I got a name for you.
Go ahead.
Chivano.
What are you doing to me, man?
Seriously. Really? No, seriously. Like,
five
what
minutes
if this
of the show,
game?
You're just going to do this to me?
What if this is the game where Buddy Hield just, you know, has a nice first half, right? And maybe even if he doesn't do anything in the second half, what if Buddy Hield has a great first half where he drops a solid number of threes to where, you know, he could be described as a difference maker by the end of the game.
Yeah, and what if Bill Simmons from The Ringer calls you up and says, you know what, I like your writing tonight, and says, I want you to come join me, and I'm going to give you a $500,000 salary to be a podcaster and to be our lead writer for Grantland's Gone, but for... My point is, yeah, anything can happen. The likelihood, although Pasa, I have confidence in that you will be there one day. It's just maybe not tonight, even though it's your birthday. Yeah, I'd like to see Jonathan. You're right. Jonathan Kuminga could be a difference maker. Or excuse me.
Man, I guess that's what happens, huh?
Chivano, our man, Buddy Hield, could be a difference maker. And he has the potential, certainly, right? This is a veteran who has been one of the best three-point shooters since arrival out of the University of Oklahoma. The likelihood, I don't see it. And I say that because of what it is that I've seen in the first two games of the series. And I always maintain that Buddy Hield is a guy that needs space to be effective. Like, Buddy Hield is not creating his own three. Buddy Hield is not sidestepping or mesmerizing you with the handle to shoot his three. He needs help. That's why he's so good in transition. When people are like, who do we pick up? You know, what do we do? It's a little chaos. And yeah, he can get hot. It can happen. We've seen it. But I think that in the postseason, that little space that Buddy Hield needs is erased. And people are in your jock because it's the postseason and you don't, it's different. It's just different in the postseason. And I think he can be nullified. At least that's what I think. I'd love to see it. I mean, you're right. You need somebody.
And it's almost like everybody's benefited from Jimmy Butler's presence and how I mentioned how it opens up the floor a little bit. It gives guys opportunities. And Buddy Hield just hasn't really cashed in from playing with Jimmy Butler. So, I mean, maybe it's just not a fit of some sort, but he hasn't had the same success that guys like Pajemski and Moody have had with Jimmy.
Yeah, and the other thing with Chivano is that if he's not giving you any offense, which Moses Moody will do through stretches of the course of the game, at least you know that on the defensive end, he's helping you. Chivano is not. And I see a lot of blow-bys of this guy. And also, to use Moses Moody, Pajemski, and Jimmy Butler, and Draymond Green, and sort of this new attitude with the Warriors, if there's loose balls or these 50-50 balls, there's a good chance the Warriors are coming away with those because that's what they do now. That's where they live, and they're deflecting passes. That's not what Buddy Hield does. And so, like, defensively, if there's a loose ball or if he's in the vicinity, I don't have the confidence that he's coming away with that. I just don't. And that's – so if I'm not getting that on the defensive end and he continues with this funk offensively and sometimes he just – he doesn't make the right defensive play or the right basketball play, I don't know. Maybe I'm more out on Buddy Hield than most, and I shouldn't be because he was so good in the beginning of the season. And yes, I'll eat my words if he's – I'd love to see it. I'd love to eat my words if he becomes that guy tonight. But I guess the point you're making as well as myself is that somebody else, not named Steph Curry, has got to step to the forefront. And I think the Warriors, without Butler, once again, it's getting revealed or they're shining a light on the fact that this is what the Warriors don't do well, is that they don't have scores or they don't have multiple guys who can get you buckets. And I think that's what it's going to boil down to tonight, Pasta. Final words?
No, it should be an interesting one. And, you know, I think we're going to learn a lot about who the Warriors are without Jimmy Butler. And hopefully it's not who they were without him in the first part of the season.
What's your drink of choice?
Ooh, that's a good question. We'll go with a strawberry margarita.
I'm not buying you one of those for crying out loud. Are you kidding me? You want me to go to the bar and order anything with the first word strawberry? You're drinking Bushmill Irish whiskey tonight.
Oh, that's fine. I mean, I'm not discriminating. You put me on the spot, so that's what came to mind.
No, I'll get you a strawberry.
What about a Golden State cider? You ever had that?
Oh, that sounds good. No, what did you want? I was just joking. Strawberry what?
Strawberry margarita? Shake?
Strawberry margarita, all right.
Lemonade margarita?
You want an umbrella in that thing?
No. That's too much. That's too much. That's too way too much.
I love you, man. All right. From a man Pasta. And of course, Ev had to cut out early. He's got a game tonight. You know the drill tonight, folks. Warriors Live begins at 4:30. We got the pregame, then tip is at 5:30. It's the Warriors, it's the Rockets, it's game 3. We'll, of course, have the postgame show. We'll talk about it all next week. Monday, of course, is game 4. Until then, this is Dan Avone for Pasta and Evan saying enjoy it, everybody. So long.